We want to look at the appearing of Jesus Christ the Lord. We read here in these last four verses of Hebrews chapter 9 of three appearings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First, we read in verse 26, "Once in the end of the world has He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." This is talking about our Lord's first appearance here on the earth in the flesh. He came in the flesh. He appeared in the flesh to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. We read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come," that's what He's talking about here in Hebrews, "when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, for a purpose." What God doeth, He doeth for a purpose. And that purpose, when God sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that purpose was to redeem them that were under the law. That we, you and I, that look to Christ by faith, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. That you and I may be joined into a family. That you and I may be considered the sons of God. That you and I may be considered those who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In verse 24, we read of another appearing of our Lord. "For Christ did not enter into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the truth." That's just the Old Testament tabernacle and sanctuary was a picture, a type, a shadow that was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They came to a place to worship. We come to a person to worship. They came to a place to offer sacrifice, and they came to a place to offer all of these things that they did, that the high priest did once a year, and then every day they offered sacrifice for sin, sacrifice for offering. We come to a person. We come to a person. "For Christ did not enter into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." The high priest came to this place to offer this sacrifice. Our Lord Jesus Christ took His place before God to offer this sacrifice before God for us. He appears right now. He appears right now in the presence of God for me. He's standing there pleading my cause. He's sitting at the right hand of God right now making intercessions for me. You remember when they stoned Stephen? Stephen had preached the gospel to them and they hated him. They hated him for it. And they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen to death. And right before Stephen died, he said, "I see one likened unto the Son of God standing at the right hand of God." The Scripture says He's seated, meaning His work of redemption is accomplished. All that He came to do, He said, "I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was." And He sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, expecting, waiting until His enemies be made His footstools. When Satan and all his followers accuse us, accuse the brethren, they point an accusation unto us and said, He's sinned. He's come short of the glory of God. He's not worshipped God as He should. He's not loved God as He should. Our Lord says, He's right. The accusations are right. He has not done these things. He does sin and come short of the glory of God today. But My blood is sufficient. My blood is sufficient to put away all transgressions. All my sin, all the sins of all my people were laid upon me, and I took them to the cross, and there I suffered and died under the wrath and penalty of God, and now I arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now I'm seated at the right hand of God, there to make intercession for them. Oh, that we may understand that our sins are gone. My sins are gone. And your sins, if you look to Christ by faith, they are gone. I know that we still have this problem of sin. We still have this flesh to deal with, as we talked earlier. But our condemnation is gone. What was it, Romans 8? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that live in Christ, to them that look to Christ. There's no condemnation. Their condemnation has been met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, I'm satisfied. I have no fault with them. I find no fault in them. And I find no sin, because their sin, their transgressions, their iniquities have been put away. They've been paid for to the point that they no longer exist. This is what our Lord did for us. And now He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. We read in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The appearings of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote this here in the book of Hebrews. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our Lord shall appear upon this earth the second time. He's coming back. But once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of Himself, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and for them that look to Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. These two appearings of our Lord Jesus Christ are alike in some ways. First of all, it was a personal appearing. We read in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. This is after His resurrection. The disciples had saw the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross. They had saw that He had died and He gave up the ghost, and they took His body and they laid Him in a tomb, and there on the third day He arose, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now He appears unto them. And they were terrified and affrighted. They did not understand these things, supposing that they had seen a spirit. And in Luke, He says in verse 38, and He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your heart? They had just saw this man be put to death. They had saw Him put in a tomb. They had saw Him lay there for 3 days, and now He has arose. And He came and walked right into the midst of them. He said, behold my hands and my feet. That is, I myself, a personal. It's a personal thing here. The men and women around us today cry out about this thing of, oh, won't you make Jesus your personal Savior? There's no other type Savior. There's no other type. He don't save buildings. He saves individual people, individual souls. He forgives their individual sins. Behold my hands and my feet, that is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bone as He sees me have. He's trying to tell them, it's me. It is the same Jesus Christ that you've seen crucified. Here I am, risen from the dead. And when He had thus spoken, He showed him His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not, they believed not for joy and wondered. He said unto them, have ye any meat here? And they gave Him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb, and He did eat it. And then He opened their understanding that they may understand the Scriptures. And He said, all these things, the prophets, the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophets and the Psalms, and these things are written of me. They concern me. Everything that the high priest did in the Old Testament tabernacle, it was pointing to what I did in the flesh. Thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He opened their understanding, and they saw. We look for the man, Christ Jesus, to come again. This same one. This same one. You remember there in the book of Acts, and the Scripture says, and as He spoke these words, this was His ascension up unto the Father. As He spoke these words, while they beheld Him, He was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These ones, no doubt, two ministering angels, which said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," a personal thing, "this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall come again in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. This same body that hung on the cross shall sit on the throne. The same hand that was nailed to the tree shall hold the golden sepulcher." John saw Him in the Isle of Patmos, and John said His face was as a shining sun, and His voice was as of many water. His feet was like brass, but it will be the same person. The same person. The same one that hung on the tree shall come again in like manner as you've seen Him go, and He shall come and receive us unto Himself. And these two appearings are alike in this way. They were both promised. They were both promised. The Scripture says, "Abraham saw my day and was glad." God promised back in the Old Testament Scriptures in these types and shadows and pictures that there's one coming. There's one coming. Offer these sacrifices as there's one coming. There's one coming. And when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said, "Here He is, behold the Lamb of God." Then from Acts through the book of Revelation, it says He's coming again. This same one that was prophesied, typed, and pictured in the Old Testament Scriptures, this same one that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says, "Behold, here He is." He's coming again. He's coming again. Our Lord rejoiced the hearts of His disciples when He said unto them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself." That's a promise. That's a promise that He's given us. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul's account here, it says, "The Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout." This same one, this same Lord Jesus Christ that hung there on the cross, He shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have passed on, those Old Testament saints, these New Testament saints, our brothers and sisters that are in Christ that have passed on, they shall rise first. Then we. We which are alive and remain. Then we shall be called up together with Him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is a personal coming. It's a promised coming. And it's an unexpected coming. I can't tell you when He's coming. No man can. There was a man several years ago said, "He's coming this day right here." And when the year 2000 turned over, men got religious and went about all these different things. I can't tell you when He's coming. But I can tell you this, He is coming. He is coming. And to many, it will be an unexpected coming. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust." If this day that we're living in right now don't fit this, I don't know what does. But in this last day, in these last days, scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All things that continue, where is the promise of His coming? I don't see anything happening, men say, that's leading up to this big event. It's going to be an unexpected coming. An unexpected coming. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept. If kept by the word of God, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, every one of His sheep. The only reason that the world is standing here right now is because somewhere in this world, there is a lost sheep that has not been brought into the fold. When that lost sheep, that last lost sheep, be brought into the fold, then cometh the end. That's when Christ will return. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we... I love the we's and the us in God's Word. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be ye diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and in blemish. He came the first time, not many was looking for Him. The Scripture says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. There wasn't many looking for Him. There was many looking for a king to rule in Israel. There was many looking for this and looking for that. There was not very many looking for a Lord and Savior. They were looking for someone that would do this and do that for the nation of Israel. But there was one man. There was one man by the name of Simeon that was looking, diligently looking for the Lord. Simeon, the Lord had told him, He said, thou shalt not depart this life till thou hast seen My salvation. And as Simeon grew old, he came to the tabernacle, or he came to the place where they was going to do the things for Christ after the custom. I suppose it was probably some type of circumcision, whatever the law required in that day. But this man Simeon, whose name was Simeon, he was a just man, a devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit. God brought him into the temple, where the parents brought in the child of Jesus, or the child Jesus, to do after him the customs of the law. Again, I don't understand exactly what all that meant, but whatever the law said was to be done with a man child, they brought Christ to do it. Then took he up in his arms. He went and took this child, probably 8 days old. He took him up in his arms, and the scripture says he blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen him. Simeon was looking for him. Not very many people was looking for him. It was an unexpected coming, and not very many people cared much about it. Blessed be the people that await and look for him to come again. This second coming, like the first, will be a personal coming, a promised coming, and an unexpected coming. But there are several ways that it will not be the same. There are several ways that this second coming is not like the first. He came the first time as an infant. He's coming back Lord over all. He came the first time to a manger. He's coming back to a throne. Oh, there's a difference here. It's the same person, same promise, and it's the same unexpected coming. But there will be a different theme here. He came the first time, hanging on his mother's breast. This showed his humanity, his dependency. He was all man, but yet all God. I don't understand that. But this showed his dependency upon his mother to feed him and to take care of him, to comfort him, to clothe him, to clean him. He didn't do these things for himself. Someone did this for him because he was an infant child. He came the first time hanging on his mother's breast. But he's coming back with the universe hanging about his shoulders. This shows his power, his authority, his right, his glory and his majesty. He came the first time to troubles, trials, heartaches. He's coming back to glory. He came the first time born in poverty. No place to lay his head. No room in the inn. He's coming back in the fullness of God. He came the first time as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's coming back as the King of glory. He came the first time alone. He came to tread the winepress alone. By His own self, He put away my sin. He suffered the wrath of God alone. He's coming back with all the heavenly host. What a glorious sight. Where are they now that slapped Him? Where are they now that spit upon Him? Where are they now that pressed this crown of thorn upon his face or upon his head and mocked Him and made fun of Him? The Scripture says, they cry for the rocks and the trees to fall upon them to hide them from the face of the God that sitteth upon the throne. This second coming is not like the first coming in many ways. They cry out for the rocks, the hills, to fall upon them and hide them from this man that's coming back. The same man. The same man that they spit upon, the same man that they slapped and put this crown of thorn upon him shall appear in glory. There is a man in glory, the man Christ Jesus. He came the first time as our surety. He stood in my room, in my stead, in the wrath and penalty of God. He's coming back as a surety of God. His purpose will be different when He comes again. He came the first time to suffer for my sins. He's coming back to receive the reward. The Scripture says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising His shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. What was that joy? Was it Him being tormented? Oh no. The joy of redeeming His people from their sin. He came to suffer the first time, but this time, when He comes a second time, He's coming to receive the reward, the joy that was given unto Him. He came the first time to serve. He went about all of His earthly life doing nothing but good for the people, doing nothing but serving the people. He's coming back the second time to reign. He came the first time to save. By His stripes we're healed. He came to save the sheep of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. He's coming back the second time to judge. Oh my. He came the first time as an open door. He's coming back to shut the door. He came the first time weeping in His soul. He's coming back the second time rejoicing in His glory. He came the first time speaking grace and peace. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's coming back the second time in condemnation. Depart from me, I never knew you. Some say, well, I've had more important things to do than come right now. I'm going to make myself ready. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I don't have time to read His Word. I don't have time to hear the preaching of the gospel. It won't be that way then. You remember when Noah built the ark? If I understand some of the scripture, Noah built this ark. It took him some 40 years to build this ark. Every day, I'm sure he had to go out and cut down a tree, and then I don't know exactly how he made this ark and formed it. But Noah worked there in the presence of his family, his friends, his relatives. Everybody knew what Noah was doing. And no doubt they laughed at Noah. It had never rained. It had never rained. There was no water to float this boat. He built this boat on dry ground. And they mocked him and made fun of him. And Noah was faithful. Every day, he'd go out, add something to the ark. Can you imagine the cry as they saw the rain begin to fall? And they saw the ark that Noah had built lift up off the land and float out of sight. Can you imagine the people that cried for Noah to open the door? If Noah probably had power, he would have opened the door. But if you read the scripture, it says Noah entered the ark and God shut the door. He's coming back the second time as a shut door. He's not coming in grace and mercy and truth. He's coming back in judgment and wrath and condemnation. Then every tongue shall see, or every eye shall see Him, and every tongue shall confess Him, that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us hear Him say now, come unto me. Let us hear Him say now. We pray that He speaks to our heart and our family and our friends' hearts and say, come unto me. Or we will hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Today is the day of salvation. Let us seek Him while He may be found. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Today, if we look to Christ, we live in Christ. Today, if we can rest our souls upon Him, then in that day, that same one that we rest in now shall come in like manner as you see Him go and receive you unto Himself. We have the promise that God will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will all go with you always, even unto the end of the world. And if our trust, our rest, our peace is found in Him right now, we will be found in Him then. We will persevere by the hand of God bringing us, directing us, bringing us unto Himself and keeping us right there. Not in my strength, not in my power, not in my wisdom, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look for Him because He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the appearing, or the second appearing, of our Lord Jesus Christ that we look for every day. Thank you.